You are listening to Democracy Now in Exile, the exception to the rulers. I'm Amy Goodman. The announcement that the U.S. would withdraw from the UN World Conference Against Racism in Durban, South Africa, caused a furor among both U.S. activists at the conference and among other nations' delegations. U.S. NGO leaders organized a spontaneous march to the steps of the International Convention Center and held a press conference there. Police met the protesters and barred them from entering the building for which they had official credentials. This is the sound of what happened outside in Durban, South Africa, once news came out that the U.S. had withdrawn.
The people united will never be defeated. 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 All over the world, stop U.S. racism.
To meet with them because the meeting was there. We felt it was very important for everybody to know how the U.S. NGOs feel about this. And so we're marching so that the other people, the other delegations understand that the U.S. NGOs don't support the U.S. Government position.
Against discrimination, show their support for African-Americans, indigenous people, people of color, now that we confront the most hostile and terror government in the world. You need to come out and make statements to support us. We want the media to hear from every group that is here that we condemn the Bush administration. We need to hear you.
What time?
Tomorrow. My name is Humberto Brown. I'm part of the African and African Descendant Caucus. I'm part of the Black Radical Congress. I'm part of the global Afro-Latino who reside in the U.S. who can be treated. And we are here representing all our people.
All right. Okay, Gail. My name is Gail Zepeda. I'm a Pomo from Northern California. I'm part of the Indigenous Peoples Caucus. We were the first ones to hear that the United States was going to walk out of this world conference. When we began this conference at the NGO King's Med Stadium, I asked the question, where is the United States? They responded by sending a very low-level delegation to this conference and no sooner unpacked their bags, if they did that, but to turn around and to walk out on the people that you see gathered here. We are from the United States. There are serious issues in regards to indigenous peoples and the document that is being drafted in those halls. We have brought those issues up, and we're told point blank by the State Department representatives that they cannot help us. Right now, we feel that as indigenous people, that the document, the work that is being happening in this United Nations forum is racist against indigenous people. They are using language that is requiring us and hindering our self-determination and excluding us as something other than human beings. And we think and we look to our brothers and sisters in the United States. When we talk about reparations, we talk about reparations for not only African Americans, but we talk about it for indigenous people as well. And we want to show solidarity here because there is racism, is alive and well in the United States, and our government has turned our back on us here in South Africa, and we have much work ahead to do in the United States.
My name is Reverend Aaron Laurier. And I'm from Barbados. I'm the head of the Barbados NGO Committee for the World Conference. My committee deplores the decision of the American government to pull from this very important conference at a time when they should be leading the world in trying to resolve this hostile discrimination across the nations of the world. We feel that it is time that the United Nations and all the nations of the world stand firm on the principle of racism, on the principle of the slave trade as a crime against humanity, on the principle of reparation. It is deplorable that the United States federal government have taken this decision to pull from this conference. We ask all the other nations who are here to condemn the United States of America for their decision in this important conference.
They're very weak.
All right, just sit for a sec. Tell your name and where you're from.
My name is Ai-Jen Poo. I'm from Third World Within in New York City, and I'm representing the Immigrant Rights Working Group and Third World Within and CAB Organizing Asian Communities. I'm here to say that the U.S. government has never represented the voice of people of color and third world people living in the United States. We are sick and tired of it, and we demand a voice at this conference. At this UN World Conference Against Racism. Third world people in the United States have been struggling, taking to the streets for years, people of color, migrants, refugees, immigrants, and we demand a voice at this table. And we will continue to take to the streets in the United States and here in Durban for as long as it is necessary.
My name is Yumna Sala. I'm here representing the Arab and Arab American community that is alive and thriving in the United States. Our issues have been completely negated and diverted in this conference. The United States needs to be held accountable for funding the genocide of the Palestinian people through Israeli aggression, as well as funding the genocide of the Iraqi people and the racist policies that are played out in both foreign and domestic policy. I call out on all people of color living in the U.S. to stand in solidarity with the Arabs, the Palestinian people, the African Americans, the indigenous peoples, the Latinos, the Asian American communities, that we band together against the racism in foreign and domestic policies led by the U.S. Stop U.S. racism! Stop U.S. racism! Stop U.S. racism! Stop U.S. racism! Stop U.S. racism!
Stop
U.S. racism!
Okay, go ahead.
Make it quick.
Wait, I'm being quick.
1 minute. Hi, everybody. My name is Eric Mann. I'm with the Labor Community Strategy Center and the Bus Riders Union in Los Angeles. As part of this delegation, I'm speaking as a Jew in solidarity with the people of Palestine. It's very upsetting to me, who has fought against anti-Semitism my whole life, and got involved in the Black Liberation Movement because of the anti-Semitism that I experienced, to watch the United States and Israel manipulate the issue and claim that the Palestinians are the aggressors and they are the victims. The reality is that the United States is the dominant military power in the world, and Israel, unfortunately, is the dominant military aggressive power in the Middle East. The Palestinian people do not have a homeland. They deserve their homeland. As we speak, Palestinian leaders are being assassinated by the Israeli government with the complete support of the United States. And don't think that this policy will not be directed against Fidel Castro, if we don't stop it, directed against Black leaders in the United States. So my point is as follows. If the United States and Israel want to leave this conference because they're for racism, then let them leave. But don't let them claim that they're the victims. They're the aggressors.
Okay. All right, my name is Jeribu Hill, and I'm a human rights attorney from Mississippi in the United States. And we just want to make it clear that we will be back tomorrow morning at 9. We will be back again and again because we will not accept. We will not be locked out. We will not accept the United States putting our issues on hold when we've been on hold, some of us, who are descendants of their diabolical system of slavery. We have been on hold for 400 years, and we will not accept the lockout. We will be back tomorrow at 9 a.m. We will be back tomorrow at 9 a.m.
Delegates from around the world, NGO leaders, organizing a spontaneous march on the steps of the International Convention Center in Durban, South Africa last night, after learning that the United States had pulled out of the UN World Conference Against Racism. When we come back from our break, we'll hear the response of the Reverend Jesse Jackson and then Nobel Peace Prize winner Rigoberta Menchú here on Democracy Now! In Exile. Stay with us. Fear of a black planet, public enemy, here on Democracy Now! In Exile. I'm Amy Goodman, Free Speech Radio. The Reverend Jesse Jackson is attending the World Conference Against Racism in Durban, South Africa, as a member of the Black Leadership Forum. He expressed disappointment yesterday that President Bush has allowed the debate over referring to Israeli practices and Zionism to determine whether the U.S. would participate. His views are shared by a number of members of the Congressional Black Caucus, and he spoke last night.
U.S. and a delegation, a low-level delegation, late, that never assumed a seat and departed in a high-profile manner. Our delegation was minimal, and so was our contribution. We put up $250,000 for this conference. But for the women's conference in Beijing, we put up $12 million. And that was a substantial investment here in the first place. Mr. Powell's statement read that, based upon one issue with which there's vehement disagreement, the labeling of Israel, that we pulled away. I worked diligently the last 3 days to make the case that we should not label one country or discount others. We should raise the chin bar of human rights real high on the matters of racism, xenophobia, and not let a country or a conflict divert our attention from the global agenda on racism. Think about genocide of 1 million people in Rwanda, slavery in Mauritania, in the Sudan, emerging racism in Brazil, the aborigines in Australia, the impact of transatlantic trade on our own society. The reasoning today I found to be astounding, where it was that because of a flaw. By the way, the document is not complete yet. The document is not complete yet. But in our own document, speaking of flawed documents, our own document had in it that African descendants would be 3/5 of a human being. That was not, that was the final document for 200 years. In fact, it was that document that legalized the transatlantic slave trade, which gives rise to the reparations debate. We went from a slave, 3/5 human document, the one that required a civil war, and the 13th, 14th, and 15th Amendments to salvage us. And then another 100 years of legal apartheid. And so we still are having aftershocks from the flaws in our documents. The good news, the reason I urge Secretary Powell to be here, America, through all of our flaws, have a story to tell that we have not told. The last 40 years, we have made racism illegal. We've made sexism illegal. So because of the 54th Supreme Court decision, where you acknowledge a flaw and you correct it legally, the 64 Public Accommodations Bill, the right to vote today, because of Title VII and Title IX, racism and sexism are illegal. We have an affirmative action plan out of which Colin Powell emerged. And so we missed a great opportunity to be a global leader. I went out to a village today called Bamla. People living, sleeping on dirt, raising chickens in their one-room hut, outdoor toilets and no running water, other poverty. This is a great moment for us to be here to address global poverty, drinkable water. 100 million will have AIDS in 5 years, the need for debt relief, the need to at least entertain John Conyers' bill to study the impact of slavery and its impact upon our own society. And so we missed a great moment to lead. You cannot lead from the rear. You cannot assume a position that in global politics, my way or the highway. I see a consistent pattern here, lastly, of disengagement. In Europe, we lost our position on the human rights seat on the UN because of the Kyoto Treaty, ABM, and capital punishment. We disengaged from that process. In the Middle East, as Palestinians and Israelis kill each other, we're disengaged. Only Mr. Bush can call Sharon and Arafat tonight and get a return call and revive the Middle East peace process. We're disengaged from that. Here, world comes from racism. We came late and left early. We're disengaged. A foreign policy of disengagement is not the stuff of which leadership for world peace is made.
The Reverend Jesse Jackson speaking last night after the United States withdrew from the UN World Conference Against Racism in Durban, South Africa, where he was. We now turn to Rigoberta Menchu, also there, the Mayan Quechan Indian from Guatemala, who's been active in the farm workers' rights movement committee of the peasant union since 1979. In 1980, Rigoberta Menchú's father, also an activist, was killed when Guatemalan military, supported by the U.S. in Guatemala City, stormed the Spanish embassy where he and some other peasants were staying. Shortly afterwards, her mother died after having been arrested, tortured, and raped. In 1981, Menchú had to go into hiding in Guatemala and then flee to Mexico. In 92, she won the Nobel Peace Prize for her work as an organizer of resistance to the Guatemalan military and the struggle for Indian peasant people's rights. Menchú is also in Durban for the World Conference.
Yo soy Rigoberta Menchú.
Sí, Rigoberta Menchú.
Soy Premio Nobel de la Paz.
Sí, es un Peace Nobel Prize.
Soy embajadora de buena voluntad de UNESCO para la cultura de paz.
She's a goodwill ambassador from UNESCO.
Y soy Maya Quiché de Guatemala.
She's a Mayan from Guatemala.
Yo he estado en esta conferencia apoyando más de 8 conferencias regionales para discutir los acuerdos de esta conferencia.
I have been a participant in 8 previous meetings to support the agreements of this conference.
Y me doy cuenta que todos los planteamientos que acordamos en las distintas regiones se quedó fuera de esta conferencia.
And now I realize that all agreements that we have reached in 8 previous meetings have been excluded.
Y uno de los temas más graves es el artículo 26 y 27 de la propuesta de declaración, que es racista en contra de los pueblos indígenas.
And the most serious offense is that Article 27 and 26 are racist.
Es en relación a los pueblos indígenas.
They are related to indigenous peoples.
Donde niega totalmente los derechos de los pueblos indígenas.
Basically, these articles deny the rights of the indigenous peoples.
Es un retroceso en relación a todos los avances que hemos tenido en los últimos 20 años.
We're going backwards instead of making progress.
Así que yo me retiraré de esta conferencia al día de mañana.
I'm leaving from this conference effective tomorrow.
No, los pueblos indígenas no están teniendo voz.
The indigenous people have no voice in this conference.
No están dispuestos los gobiernos a aceptar nuestras propuestas.
The governments have refused to hear our demands.
Y creo que esta conferencia no tiene valor, no tiene la credibilidad para abordar los temas de los pueblos indígenas.
This conference don't have the value and the credibility to treat the indigenous people's issues.
Así que soy parte de toda la lucha de los hermanos indígenas, los hermanos afrodescendientes y las mujeres que estamos aquí.
I am part of the struggles of the indigenous people, of the African American people, and the women, and we are here struggling.
Y los millones de gente que confiaron en nosotros.
And millions of people that trust on us.
Pero que no fueron tomados en cuenta aquí.
But that were not taken into account in this conference.
Yo creo que no es grave que Estados Unidos se retira porque siempre dijo que no participaría.
I don't think that it's serious that United States decided to quit because they have not been participants.
Y yo pensaba que no participaban.
And I thought that they were not even participating until we heard that they decided to quit.
Así que aquí creo que la politización de los Estados Unidos, los países colonialistas, es muy fuerte en esta conferencia.
So we now realize that the power of the colonial powers is very strong and is influencing this conference.
Y no quieren reconocer ninguna reparación de los daños que causan a los pueblos.
They don't want to recognize any type of reparation to the people that have been affected by the colonizers.
Así que bueno, a la delegación norteamericana le deseo buen viaje.
Well, to the United States delegation, we wish them have a good trip.
Rigoberta Menchú, Nobel Peace Prize winner, Mayan Quechan Indian from Guatemala. speaking in Durban, South Africa, after the U.S. delegation pulled out. Now it looks like they've pulled out all but one person who has been designated as a delegate who will give input from the United States into the final declaration, apparently by telephone. Well, questions about whether Israel should be condemned for its treatment of Palestinians and whether the West should pay reparations for slavery and colonialism have roiled conference preparations for months. Washington has said repeatedly it would not consider language that criticized Israel or legitimized reparations for descendants of slaves. Tomorrow we'll talk more about the issue of reparations, but now we go to Aliantin, who is with the African NGO Caucus to the Conference on Racism. He traveled to Durban from Dakar, Senegal.
We are claiming for reparations for three issues, slavery, slave trade, and colonialism. And we are claiming the recognition of this crime as a crime against humanity. Because the root of this tragedy was theories of racial supremacy and the fact that the Africans were not considered as human being or less than human being. And we need reparations for that. And the second thing for us is that there is a great impact of these theories. There is on the level of psychological level, economical level, cultural level, and all these kind of levels. And we need reparations because in the field of Africa, many of the young people were taken for slavery, and many of the wealth of Africa were taken, and many powerful countries have built their wealth on the wealth of Africa during colonialism and during slave trade. And now he is continuing with what we say globalization, because the victim of these past crimes and the victim of the present are the same. So in the African vision, we need firstly that they consider it as crime against humanity. We need apology. We need remembering. It's very important, and truth about this tragedy is very, very important. We need the cancellation of the debt, which is very, very important for us. And we need that education, health, policies must be taken in charge. We need mechanism, very strong mechanism, and legal mechanism to combat racism everywhere. You know, we are living it as migrant workers in Europe, as refugees, and as asylum seekers. We have these problems as African in the country. And we need the end of the black racism all over the world. Because when you arrive in the airport in Europe, by the skin, immediately you are segregated. It is very important. When you are going to seek for a home, when you are going to seek for home, for work, even you have some skills, your job is only to guard or to some manual work. In Europe, it is very often. In our perspective of African, we need that the end of this kind of practice. The other practice is the impunity of racism acts, racism humiliation, environmental racism you are living. The fact that many African Europeans that have their status in France and in other are excluded from major, for instance. You have never seen in Europe, you have many, many Europeans, one African or Arab making the information at the TV, for instance. It is very, very important. And we see that the problem is because there is discrimination about this field.
Aliantine, the African NGO caucus representative to the UN World Conference on Racism. He traveled to Durban from Dakar, Senegal. And that does it for today's program. If you'd like to email us, you can write to mail@democracynow.org. That's mail@democracynow.org. Democracy Now in Exile is produced by Chris Abrams and Brad Simpson. Anthony Sloan is our music maestro and engineer. Errol Maitland, our technical director. Special thanks to Miranda Kennedy and Chase Pearson. And thank you to the Pacifica stations, especially KPFA, Pacifica's first station, and Roy at KPFK, Mike Black at WEOS in Geneva, New York, and, of course, all of our affiliate stations around the country. We are Pacifica. We're broadcasting from Downtown Community Television, that's DCTV, in the historic firehouse of Engine 31 in Chinatown. In the midst of a firestorm, what better place to be? In exile from the embattled studios of WBAI, the studios of the band and the fired, the studios of our listeners. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks for listening to another edition of Democracy Now in Exile.